Portions of the show may be previously recorded. Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I've got a lot of information I've got to get across to you. Don't know how it's going to break down, but the bottom line is it's in segments because I've got to go at it in segments because it's stuff that you have to understand one part to get to the next part, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But by the end of the show, it all ties together. So if you can hang with me through the whole show, you'll get to the meat, which obviously I have to build up to the end, which is where I tell you exactly what we're going to do to solve the problem. So let's start out with this issue number one. Issue number one is massive inflation. We all know that. So what's happening from the massive inflation? The response is the Fed is starting to raise interest rates. As the Fed raises interest rates, there's going to be an effect. The effect is, number one, slowing down the economy is the goal. And number two, retraction of the ability to spend money that's not your money. Now, there's the key factor. You can spend all the money you want that's yours, but it's the borrowed money that is creating hyperinflation. This leveraged effect is what changes everything in our economy. If you were to work on just an all-cash basis, the economy would be very slow, if not dead. And it's only because of massive leverage this stuff gets done, right? So we look at this thing and we say, well, what's going on here? And how does it affect us is really the real question we want to get to before we get off the show today. That's the key. How does it affect us is question number one. And what should we do about that is question number two. So let's go into it a little bit and see what's happening. When the Fed starts raising interest rates, you have to think about what that does to us as a business. To do that, you need to understand what business we're in. Now, if you can think about monopoly for a second, if you know anything about monopoly, if you don't, then we'll try to make it generic enough that you can follow along. What we do for a business is we buy a box that produces money. That's all it is. And the more boxes that we own that produce money, or the larger boxes that we own that produce larger amounts of money, then the better off we are. We're trying to replace our earned income with passive income. Now, what you didn't hear there at all was speculation. And rule number one in my three rules in life is rule number one is don't lose money. Well, how do you lose money in investments? The only way you can lose money in investments is if you're buying on a speculative format. So if you're trying to buy low and sell high, you're always at risk of buying high and the price is falling out and you being forced to sell low. That's speculation. You buy the stock market, it goes up, it goes down. You hit it right, you hit it wrong. You make money, you don't make money. But the problem with that is generally that you end up not making money the year you need money, and you make money the years you don't make money or don't need money, better said. And the real problem is you don't really know. It's just up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But it's all speculation. People buy their personal residence a lot of times for speculation. I'm buying in a good neighborhood. Why would you buy in a good neighborhood? Because the prices will go up faster. That's speculation. Now, what is speculation by definition? I think that's important for this first segment is to talk about that. Speculation is when you buy something with the anticipation that somebody is going to be dumb enough to pay you more for it than what you paid for it. So think about it. It's a box that spits out money. It's a house. It's a piece of gold, which is a rock. Now, what's a piece of paper? It's called stocks or bonds. And they represent ownership of some kind, of something, but nobody really even cares because all they're really doing is buying the piece of paper, hoping that the value of the piece of paper, the stock certificate, or the bond. Now, the bonds represent the strength of the government, or if it's a city bond or a state bond or a corporate bond, it represents the strength of some business or company or state or the Fed. And a stock certificate represents a business, an underlying business. But you're not buying them because of the underlying business. You're not going, wow, I think Paul Maluf is really going to make it this year. You're going, I hear that Paul Maluf is a good bet to go up in price. And you're buying stocks speculatively. You're buying gold speculatively. You're buying your house speculatively. In other words, you're a gambler. Gamblers eventually lose. That's all there is to it. Because of this basic mathematical equation. If you start with an amount of money, which is your principal, that's your savings, and you lose 50% of your savings, now you have a new principal that's X divided by half. Now this half, and let's say that was 100,000, is now 50,000. And now you want to make a gain, but the $50,000, what does it have to earn? What percent does that amount of stock have to go up just to get back to where you're at? Now remember, you only lost 50%, but you have to gain 100% on the new amount of principal that you have to get back up to where you're at. Now think about that. If every loss has to be represented by a double an amount gain to get back to where you're at, mathematics hits you when it comes to speculating. You will eventually lose. Where if I buy an asset and the asset fluctuates all over the place, but I never bother to sell it, then it never changes value to me. Now think about that. If I own an asset and I never sell it, it never changes value to me. So what good is owning that asset? And the answer is absolutely nothing. Because if you're not buying and selling it to represent some gain from the activity of buying that asset, then that asset is useless to you. So if you have stocks that pay you no dividends, they're useless. Right? If you have a 401k that pays you nothing, it's useless. An IRA is useless. Your house you all live in pays you nothing. It's useless. Whereas my investments, rent houses, apartment complexes, when I buy them, they pay me income. So the prices can fluctuate all over the place. They can do whatever you want them to do in your head. Whatever you believe they're going to do, because the Fed does this, the Fed does that, the government does this, the government does that. All of that gerrymandering that goes flurrying around me. I've never lost a house. It's still exactly where I bought it. It's exactly in that same place. It never got up and moved. My apartments are exactly where I bought them. They've never got up and moved. And yet they send me money in the mail every month. So if you go back to the monopoly situation, you buy that piece of property there, that piece of real estate, and it earns you $10. But you put a house on that, and it earns you $50. You put two houses on it. Well, I got to go back. The economics of scale is if you own one piece of real estate, and there's three of them in every color group, if you buy the other three, other two in the color group, you now have economics of scale. So the rents double. What is the changes that the Fed are making in interest rates going to do as far as our investment techniques? And I'm here working that through with you over this whole radio show. So you need to kind of stay in tune with the whole thing. And if you can't stay with it for the whole show because you're traveling to work or something, then go back and get the podcast and listen to the whole thing from beginning to end. All right, having said that, when we went to break, we were talking about the Monopoly board, and we're talking about the fact that if you buy one of the properties where there's three of them in the same color, that you're going to get more rent by having more than one property. Well, that's called the economics of scale. And in real estate, we get that economic scale. The more properties we own close together, the cheaper it is for us to operate those properties. And so we have a more profitable situation. Also, we have the ability to move tenant from place to place to place. Somebody walks in our door and says, I need this, and this particular location doesn't have it, but we have one around the corner, then we have a very easy opportunity for us just to move that tenant to another location and take advantage of that sale. Now, the reason that's important is because sales cost money. They cost marketing dollars. They cost employee time. There's a lot involved there. So the economics of scale plays out in real estate. And that's shown in the Monopoly game by the fact you buy multiple colors. Second thing is the thing called improvements. So in Monopoly, if you buy a little greenhouse for one property, you get more income. Now, if you buy a house for each of them, then you get even more income than that. Every house you have, additional house you have, the more income you get. And so that is the improvements of product. So let's talk about this in a simple way if you've never played Monopoly. What if my business was buying boxes that produced cash? And that's really what they are. They're a house is a box that's watertight, air conditioned, and has amenities inside of it that produces cash flow for me. That's all it is. Now, I know from my 32 years of experience of doing this that a brown house will create less income than a greenhouse. Now, that's tongue-in-cheek. Basically, what I'm saying to you is, you know, hey, the houses in Monopoly are green, so we know that greenhouses are what we want, but we see that there's brown houses, but we can buy these brown houses cheaper than we can buy the green ones. Then what we would do is buy the brown houses, slap a coat of paint on them, and make them greenhouses, and all of a sudden, they're worth more. They're worth more not because of speculation. They're worth more because of a known science, the science of best product, best price. We know that a better product demands a higher price, and we know what makes a better product. So I said it's a watertight box. What if the roof leaks? We buy one, the roof leaks, and we buy it cheap. We put a new roof on it, and boom, it's worth more, and we can get more rent for it. And there's less things to get wet and ruined when it rains, so there's less cost, less maintenance on the property. So hence, we make more money. What does that mean? It means the box spits out more money. So we buy these boxes, and we improve these boxes, and that's what Lifestyles is about. It's about knowing what kind of box to buy, where it should be bought. Remember, location, location, location. It's about what can be fixed in or on the outside of the box to make the box produce more income. And it's about the accumulation of the boxes in such a way that creates the economics of scale and a reduction of time necessary of our investment. In other words, we want to get to the point where we have enough product that we can pay somebody to operate the product for us so we don't have to operate it. And hence, it becomes profitable without our time. So the time, money, time, dollar spent, time, hour spent variable gets better. And that's what we're looking to do. So you notice that in the Monopoly game, we go from greenhouse, one greenhouse, to two greenhouse, to three, to four. And you have to put a greenhouse on every single one of the properties on that color before you can go up. That's representing the fact that you're building a portfolio. And before you can get any better economics of scale in that neighborhood, you have to have more houses in that neighborhood. Or you have to have a larger, we'll go on apartments. You have to have more houses in that particular neighborhood before you can get the economic scale. So to have the economic scale in that neighborhood and then buy houses over in another color group, which would be another city or another part of a big city, you lose the economics of scale. You got to start all over with the economics of scale again. And so you work this from the point of view, I'd rather fill up all the houses on the one that I have and get the best economics of scale out of the one I have, because when people land on me, I get large chunks of money. Well, the same thing's true when you got a really good rental portfolio that has very profitable position. The expenses are low. The income is high. The time spent is minimal. Everything's close by. This is very, very profitable. Now, to become even more profitable, you have to move up to the apartment industry. And in Monopoly, they call it hotels, but it's really the multifamily environment. And they paint, they have those as red hotels. So we can say, now, we can't paint a greenhouse red and call it an apartment complex. That won't work. You can't paint a greenhouse Monopoly red and call it a hotel. That won't work. You have to change over completely to a different business called hotels. And that's the next step in what we teach, is how do you change over from single-family houses, boxes that produce money, that we've done everything we can do to maximize the productivity of that box. We've changed its color if need be. We've changed the appliances if need be. We changed the flooring if need be. We changed the roof if need be. We changed the AC and heat if we need be. All the components of that box that spits out money, we're going to fix to best product, best price to get the maximum income and lowest cost. Think about it. If you fix everything in the house, there's nothing to go wrong. There's nothing for the tenant to call you about. In fact, most stuff lasts about 10 years. So if you totally renovate a house and make it perfect, then you get about 10 years before you get any calls from any tenant for anything, because nothing should wear out. Now, if a tenant breaks something, that's their responsibility. If they break it, right? So we look at this situation and we see that we want to move to the economics of scale in houses, then we're going to move up to apartments. There it is. There's our business. Now, how many apartments do we want to own? Well, how much money do you want to make? And you just keep moving and growing and growing and growing. Question becomes then, well, what does the price actually mean? And the price actually means nothing. What the product produces doesn't change by what you pay for it. But you think it does. No, it doesn't. What is actually happening out there is that you are using borrowed money to buy this. And the cost of the money is being taken away from what the box produces. So the higher the price you pay, the more borrowed money you have, the less productive and profitable the box will be. And so when we come back from break, we're going to talk about all the ramifications of pricing and financing on the value and productivity of the box. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not because that's the way it's set up, but because of the knowledge.
When put into action, knowledge is power. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we empower you to live the lifestyle of your dreams through passive real estate income. For over 30 years, our successful members share their knowledge through case studies, classes, and mentoring. Tap into the knowledge. Attend a free workshop online. Register now at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Today we're talking about how the Fed is changing the interest rates, how that's going to affect the market, how that's going to affect what we do, how we're going to react to it, et cetera, et cetera. And as we went to break, we're talking about the fact that, okay, what we're really buying is boxes that produce money, and it really has nothing to do with what the price is. Why would you say that, Del? Well, because unless there's options that can outperform my box that produces money, then there's no place else to put my money but into the box that produces money. And there really is nothing else that produces the kind of cash flow that real estate does. If there was, I'd be investing in it. I know I would. I mean, because seriously, if it wasn't a speculation, it was, I buy this rock. If I could buy gold and it put off a, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15% return on cash flow with long-term capital gains of inflation of 4 to 6% a year of inflation, then gosh, I'd be into gold. But gold doesn't put off any dividends. It doesn't pay any rental income. So when you look at real estate not only pays dividends, it has capital gains, it has appreciation, it has inflation, it has forced appreciation, which we create ourselves by improving the product, making it worth more, and it has tax advantages. We're buying all those things compared to any other investment. It's not worth going to other investments. So here I am faced with, okay, how much would I pay for this box that produces income? And at first you would say, well, there's got to be a point where the more you pay for the box, the lower the rate of return is. Yes, that's true. If you're actually paying with your own money. But what if you're not using your own money? Let's go to three different levels of not using your own money. Let's say you're just borrowing 80% of the money as a loan. Well, now if you can borrow 80% of the money, there's a delta on the money. In other words, if you're earning, let's just say a 10% return on your cash flow, and you put a 5% mortgage on there, well, then you're still making 5%, but you're making 5% of money that's not yours. That's a delta of free money. You're putting down your own money, and that own money is earning 10%. But that other money, the money you borrowed for 5 that's making 10, which is making 5 delta, that 5 is free. And so you can't count that as costing you money. But you do, and you average it into what you have to pay for the front end, and you say, wow, that leverage rate of return is very, very high. Very high. So someone else comes along and says, well, I'd like to buy that next box that's for sale. And you go, but I want that box. And they go, well, that box is $100,000. And you go, well, that I'll pay the $100,000. Next guy goes, I'll pay $102,000 for that box. Why? Because with the leverage, it just doesn't matter. I'm still going to make a ton of money and a bunch of free money on the delta of the leverage money. And then you go one step further, and it goes 105, and somebody bids it up to 110, somebody bids it up to 120. And at some point, they bid it up so high to where houses are $150,000, $200,000, to where even with the 80% loan, it doesn't make any sense anymore. And so at that point, they start lowering interest rates from 5 to 4 to 3.5. And now, even though you're paying $200,000 for the box because the interest rates are so low, the delta between the cash flow and the interest rate is so large that even though you're paying so much that your cash portion of the deal isn't doing very well, your leverage portion is still all free money. And so you're going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And so is everybody else because they want the box. So now, let's go one step further. Let's go to a syndicator. So a syndicator is going to borrow the money from the bank to do the 80% loan, but then he's going to go to his passive investors to raise the other 80%. So now he has nothing in the deal. What does the syndicator matter, or how does he perceive the price as being relevant? He doesn't. Price means nothing to a syndicator. Why? Because they have no money in the deal, or very, very little. And they're living off the delta between the interest rate of the loan and the cash flow, and the delta between what you're going to pay your passives and the cash flow. Now, as these deals get tougher and tougher and tougher to make sense of, they have to give a little bit more of the cash flow to the passive, but all their cash flow is still delta free. It's all free. They got nothing in the deal. So there's nothing to keep them from continuing to push the prices. And hence you end up where we're at right now, where people are paying way more than what a piece of real estate is truly worth if you were to pay cash for it. But because of the leverage and because of the interest rates and because of the last thing they added, which was interest only period, to where you don't even have to pay all the mortgage. You only have to pay the interest portion of the mortgage, where that creates enough delta that you can even pay your passive some money until that interest-only period wears out, and then your passives are going to get wiped out. And there are thousands, no, tens of thousands, nah, hundreds of thousands of passives in this country. They're going to get wiped out over the next 6 to 12 months. Why? Because the interest rates are going back up. And that's the problem. Not only are these interest-only loans, which are going to eventually be amortized again, meaning they have to pay both the interest and the principal, but also their adjustable rate mortgages, which are going to go up interest rate wise. Then you add on top of the adjustable rate interest rates and the interest-only parts of the loans, and you get to the fact that some of these loans are short-term. They're bridge loans. So in 3 years, 5 years, whatever, they're coming to the end of that loan. And they bought this thing when interest rates were 3.5, and now interest rates are 5.5 today. But they're talking about raising them another half a point twice more this year. So they'll be at 6.5. The deals that they bought at 3.5 cannot survive with interest rates twice what they were when they bought the deal, when they underwrote it. So these deals are going to crash. They're going to die. And many, many people are going to lose their money. Not because of real estate, because all my real estate is sweet. Because all my real estate is either under a fixed rate long-term mortgage or it's all cash. And I don't recommend all cash, but the fixed rate long-term mortgage is a beautiful thing. You go to bed every night. You get up knowing what your interest rate's going to be for the next 10 years. And you sleep like a baby. And just make cash flow and cash flow and cash flow. You say, but Dell, but wait a minute. You can't even get a deal to cash flow right now with a regular mortgage if you don't have interest only and if you don't have, go to adjustable rate mortgage where it's lower to start with. Doesn't that tell you something? That if the deal doesn't work with a conventional mortgage, that you're paying too much? That you're grasping at straws to try to buy a box that you're overpaying for, that someday because the IO period is going to go off, or someday because the interest rates are going to go back up so high, or someday because it's a short-term bridge loan, it's all going to blow up in your face? Can't you see that? Now, I've been doing the Expo for 30 years. The last 3 years, I've done a whole piece on watch out for these three different types of interest programs that I've been telling you about for 3 years to watch out for and or plan around to get out of. Whenever I do the two-day seminar, I used to always ask people to go to the back of the book and write this in the back of the book. I will not do what Del Walmsley said to do. Everybody laughs. He goes, that's funny. I'm paying you so much money to teach me. Go, doesn't matter. You still won't listen to me. Thousands of people have not listened to me. And they're going to get bit. Now, some are going to work their way out of it. Some of the smart guys are starting to get out right now. They're selling the properties off left and right. All right? And they're getting out of them. We're getting rid of all the properties we can get rid of that we've got financial problems on. Or there's a dog property. It's not one you want to keep. Anything right now you can get out of that you don't want, get out of it. If it's got finance problems, get out of it. Whatever, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out now. Today we're talking about what happens when the feds increase interest rates. What does that do to the investment market? And we've worked around this whole thing, the whole radio show. Now we're going to finish it up with this last segment and get into the nitty-gritty of what we're going to do. So what you need to understand is, first of all, we're buying a box that produces income. I want the box. I want the box where the prices are high or where the prices are low. It's irrelevant to me. I just want the box. The more boxes I have, the more income I have. Now, if I have to pay a large amount for the price of the property, but I can buy low price interest money to be able to buy it with, then the net effect is I still have a lot of cash flow, no matter what the price is. But now, when the Fed, because of inflation, is forced to start raising the interest rates, what's going to happen is that the cash flow is going to go down. So think about it. If you've got cap rates, which is the rate of return that you earn if there's no financing, the cap rates are sub 4, and interest rates are now 5.5, you realize that's a negative cash flow property from the outset. The only way to overcome that is to pay cash. And if you can't pay cash, then you got to pay 40, 50% down to make it work to where there's not that much negative cash flow from the interest rates to the cap rate of the property, which is a negative delta. Before we had a positive delta we were making profit off of. Now we have a negative delta. And if syndicators are going to be able to convince passives to get into deals with negative deltas, that's insane. Because they're ripping them off, period. It just shouldn't happen. You should not get into a deal with a negative delta between the interest rate and the cap rate, period. All right. So this is all in flux, so it doesn't happen overnight. Right now, you can probably get a mortgage on an apartment about 4.5, and cap rates were about, 3.5. They'll probably come up to 4.5, so they're about break even right now. So, if you're making any money at all in the down payment and they force you to put more down, like 40% down, then there's more cash flow. But here's what's going to happen. As the Fed continues to increase these interest rates, you're going to have a situation where it's not going to make any sense anymore. And the Fed is going to force banks and mortgage companies to stop lending money because it doesn't make sense. And they're going to make it more and more and more difficult for someone to get a loan. They're going to have to, first of all, have a better cash flow, have a better price. They're going to have put more down. They're going to have a better backing. In other words, the person buying the property is going to have to be a better person, have a better balance sheet. All these things are going to happen and make it more difficult, which is going to in turn slow the economy down. All right. It's not going to stop the economy because there's still going to be guys like me that want the box. Now, think about it. If the Fed forces people to raise the price to make the interest rates work, even people like me who don't even need to borrow the money are going to be happier because we're buying the box at a lower price overall, because they're forcing the prices to go back down. All right? Just logic, just economics, just basic principles, right? You say, well, Del, does that mean the thing is going to crash? No, the market's not going to crash. There's too much money chasing too many deals. And so there's still going to be a lot of money out there looking for these better deals. They're just going to be looking for the opportunities. Now, where are the opportunities going to exist? The opportunities are going to exist in a multitude of ways. Number one, in all my real estate companies, 7 of them, we're already seeing retrades. We're seeing stuff where the buyers are saying to the sellers, because the bank is pushing on them, they're pushing back on the sellers and saying, we can't do this deal. So prices are going to come down on retrades. Secondly, I've already seen it myself. The prices of stuff I'm out there trying to buy are coming down up front, period. I was looking at a deal the other day and $500,000 off the price of what they had told me a week ago that they wouldn't take for my offer. And they called me back and said, okay, your $500,000 lower offer we'll take now. We're interested. Just happening all over the place right now. Prices are coming down. All right. So you got mortgage companies and banks forcing people out of deals they've already agreed to. Those are going to fall back on the market. The sellers are going to be gun shy. They're going to be gunshot, and they're going to want to get out, knowing that it could fall even farther, and they want to get out now. So those deals will be available. There'll be deals where people are just flat going, I've got all my dogs, and I've told everybody, we've told everybody at Lifestyles, get out of your dogs right now. So there's going to be a lot of problems out there, deals out there that people don't want, whatever, not the right location. They don't know how to handle it. It's the property they don't have the skill set for. They got a bad set of financing stuck to it. They're going to get out. And those deals are going to hit the market, and they're going to hit the market at more realistic prices. Now, what about the crash like we had in 2008? The only way the crash occurs is if the Fed continues to raise the price to where people that are in loans of almost every type cannot get back out of the loans and deals start to fall into foreclosure. If they push it that far and deals start to fall into foreclosure, then you'll start seeing stuff purchased at, 80 cents on the dollar, 70 cents on the dollar, but you're not going to get down to the 50 cents on the dollar stuff that we got to, because you have to have the banks implode for that to happen. And that's a long ways off for something like that to happen, if it would happen, but I don't see it happen. Now let's talk about, what are the people trying to sell you real estate going to say? The syndicators, the real estate brokers, and the mortgage brokers who don't make a dime unless a deal closes. Those guys are getting paid on commissions and fees. They're going to tell you this is all nonsense. It's crazy people that don't know what they're talking about, just trying to tell you all this stuff that's not really going to happen. They're all piling on to try to lower the prices. Well, that's what they're going to tell you. And those people are going to be telling you that to the day they die. My friends, the world has changed. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.